produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
A very, very good welcome and a warm welcome, although it's cold in Pretoria right now. If you are in South Africa, we are currently experiencing some chilly moments because we are in winter. But nevertheless, the fire of God that is in you, may it keep you warm. May you continue to be ignited and walk in that warmth and fire, and may that fire never be extinguished. Praise the Lord. Well, we are on our weekly radio program, and I'm so blessed again to once again get the opportunity to just be able to speak and share the Word of God. There's nothing that excites me as much as the Word of God. It's powerful, it's life transforming, it's instructional, it shows us the way, it's educative, it's teaching, it's correcting. And so praise the Lord for a word that will be in season, that will position us to take our rightful places in the plan of God for this season. And today I'm going to be talking to you from Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. And really, in terms, if you want to title, some people love titles of messages. If you want to put a title, you can put a title about "It's Time to Shine." It's time to shine. And really, this let's start by reading the foundational scripture, Matthew 5, verse 14. It says, if you don't already know it, "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. I want you maybe just to point to yourself right now, because sometimes we need to internalize and personalize this. So "you" means me, me. So put your name there and just say Pearl or whatever your name is. Tertia, or you know, whoever it is, Helen, Tandazani, Connie, you know, I'm just calling our ladies from GFWE, Lulama, all our beautiful ladies, Lungi in PE, and Lorraine in Northern Cape. Just put your names to it right now. And if I haven't called your name, don't say that it's because I don't love you. It's just those names were the names that came up. Joy, all of you, I love you. So just say, "You, Pearl, you are the light of the world." Internalize it. Spend a moment and just think about what it means to be a light of the world. God is saying this to us. And if you are a born again, tongue talking, Bible believing, devil chasing, you know, son of God, then he's talking about you. You are the light of the world. You've been positioned to be the light of the world. Why? Because Yeshua, who is the light himself, if Yeshua is in you, it means you are carrying light. And that's what makes you now the light of the world. And he says, "A city," it continues to say, "a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." So I wanted to talk to us today about being the light. So many of us talk about being a light, but we're not manifesting the properties of light. We're not actually showing the characteristics of what it means to be light. And the first thing I want to say, because you know we're living in very challenging times, COVID times, illness and death and all sorts of things, and also areas around fake news and conspiracies and all of these things going on. But so it's a very dark time. It's a dark time when people are locked in their houses. I see people suffering from mental stress right now. You know, suicides are going up. People are committing suicides, and gender-based violence is also on the increase, where men and people are beating their wives because of having been locked down. So there's a lot of emotional and mental stress and emotional pressure. And it's a dark time. It's a dark time. There, you know, even though God is resetting and doing his work and doing his thing, it still is a dark time. And one thing I wanted to say to you is, one of the things about darkness is that light shines best in darkness. So if ever there was a time that you and I were being called out to shine, 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 Shine our light, the light that is Jesus in you. If ever there was a time and a moment to shine and bring out your light, it's now. Because light does what? It shines best in darkness. So my prayer for you and I is that we will not be intimidated by darkness, but we will rise up to release the light that is in us. And light has the ability to push back darkness. So it's when light shows up that darkness moves back. It's when light shows up that darkness must flee. It's light that can confront darkness and remove darkness. So this is not the time to hide and you know, not speak out. It's the time to shine. And so let us know, first and foremost, the first principle as we shine is that the darker the night, the greater the shine. The darker the night, the greater the shine. So the challenge that is being posed to you and me as believers, as sons of God, who've received the light himself, who is Yeshua, the light himself, this is our time to shine. And in shining, we must go out there. In shining, we must be ministering to people. In shining, we must evangelize. This is the time to not hide, but to continue to preach the gospel through whatever means, online, Zoom, Facebook, live streams. That is all about shining. We're shining because it's dark out there. The darkness of COVID, the darkness of the economy, darkness of racism. We're seeing racism, you know, manifest and systemic and institutional racism and individual racism all being manifest. It's time to shine out there in that darkness of COVID, in that darkness of the economy, which looks like it's failing and falling apart, in that darkness of racist and xenophobic manifestations. This is the time. There's no better time than to shine now. So there's plenty of shining to do, beloveds. You just tell yourself right now, it may be dark out there, but it's time for me to shine. And we shine with the word of God, and we shine with the spirit of God, and we shine with the light of Yeshua that is in us. Hallelujah. Second part of the scripture, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So second part of the word that I wanted to share with you is that it says that a city, you're also a city that is set on a hill, and God has positioned us. And from Genesis 1:26, he positioned us to have dominion. Being on a hill is a place of dominion. He positioned us to subdue. He positioned us to take authority. When you are on top of a hill, you can see everything. You have command. There's an aspect of command to being on the hill. And so I want to say to you and challenge you, it's not time to just be hidden. Don't withdraw from the kingdom mandate. Don't withdraw from what God has given you, from the assignments that God has given you. You may be discouraged, but like David, you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Not just encourage yourself with anything. You know, there's some things that may temporarily encourage you, but encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself with the word of God. Encourage yourself with the assignment that he's given you. Encourage yourself with the knowledge that he loves you unconditionally and will never leave nor forsake you. Encourage yourself with the understanding that, you know, with God on your side, who can be against you? Nobody can be against you because he is with you. He's with you in this run. He's with you in this race. He'll never leave nor forsake you. Praise the Lord. Encourage yourself. Don't withdraw. We've been in lockdown for a season, beloveds, and we've been hidden. But soon, you know, God is going to allow us to come out physically. And even though you're hidden physically, it does not mean that your spirit can never be hidden. Your spirit cannot be captured. Your mind can never be hidden. So let, you know, your body may be put captive in a certain place. But you, do you know that Paul and the disciples, when they're in Silas, when they were in prison, you know what? Their bodies were in prison, but their minds were not in prison. Their spirit was not in prison. And because their spirit was not in prison, that was what enabled them to break out. When your spirit is not captured, there's no spirit capture. You're able to break out of any prison that the enemy may try to put on you. When your spirit is not captured or held captive, you are able, my God, to praise your way out. And that's what happened to Paul and Silas, is that their spirits were not captured. Their spirits were not imprisoned. And so because they were not, they were able to bring out a praise, praise break. Oh my God. And that praise break just began to open the prison bars for them. And even all those who were there, because their spirits were not hidden, their spirits were not captured, their spirits were not captivated. So in this season, my prayer for you is that your spirit man will not be captured. You may be physically locked in a house because of lockdown regulations and lockdown rules and lockdown laws, but may your spirit not be captured. May your mind not be captured. May your mind continue to be renewed in the word of God. Hallelujah. Mental depression will not come upon you. Mental stress will not come upon you. Why? Because your spirit man is rising up and your spirit rules and your mind is being renewed every day consistently by the word of God. You're walking in prayers. Those prayers are provoking, accelerating, encouraging you, and you are able to encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. So, and pretty soon these lockdown regulations will be lifted. And after they're lifted, it will be a time to come out, a time to emerge. A time to emerge, not only, you know, mentally, emotionally, but also physically. Also physically, we'll be emerging, we'll be coming out like a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. And you know the thing about the cocoon, when a butterfly is in a cocoon, it's simply wrapped up in a time to prepare for the destiny that it's going to have in the future. Because the thing about a butterfly, it's a very beautiful creature, but it's not just for us to look at its beauty. The butterfly has a purpose, and the purpose, one of its purposes is to pollinate. So the butterfly being in a cocoon there is being prepared. Its wings are growing, so it'll be able to fly. And in flying, it must fly from flower to flower to pollinate. So if the butterfly emerges out of that cocoon prematurely, it will not be able to accomplish its purpose. So the cocoon is a time of preparation for the butterfly's purpose, which is a national purpose, which is to bring transformation and change wherever it goes, from flower to flower, bringing change, bringing transformation. It's not just a beautiful insect. So the cocoon is a time of preparation. And I want to put it to you and me that we've been in a lockdown cocoon, and it's not been a time to lament. It's not been a time to have a pity party, to feel sorry for oneself, but it's been a time where we can prepare. Some of us have been preparing for new ideas and new strategies. God has downloaded new strategies of what to do when we come out. There have been ideas that have manifested. There have been relationships that have been started during this lockdown, a time of cocoon, a cocoon preparing you for some sort of a covenant relationship. Maybe you've developed a covenant relationship and God has been allowing you time to prepare so that that relationship can grow, that relationship can be built into some sort of a covenant relationship. It's been a time where God has given you ideas for new businesses, new initiatives. And in this time of cocoon, God has been allowing you to download the strategy of how to establish this new work and this new initiative. So don't curse this time. Just see this as a cocoon time where God has been allowing you to prepare so that you can emerge as a butterfly and begin to perform all the very critical functions, assignments, mandates, and kingdom agendas that God has set aside for you. Like the butterfly, you know, pollinate, which pollinates, it's pollinating flowers. It doesn't just pollinate one flower, but it goes from flower to flower to enable the flower also to begin to fulfill its kingdom purpose on earth. And so my prayer for you is that we will emerge as butterflies that will go out and pollinate to perform those very critical kingdom assignments, that we will take those kingdom initiatives, kingdom plans that God has himself put in our hearts, because many of us had plans which were not necessarily kingdom plans. They were good ideas, but they were not God ideas. And in this season, God has deposited God ideas in us. Many are the plans of a man, but you know, it's the purpose and the plan of God that must prevail. And so I pray that in this cocoon time of lockdown, that we will begin to sift the God ideas and God plans from the good ideas and the good plans, and begin to now prioritize God's plans, so that when we emerge from here, we're able to pollinate and bring kingdom transformation in our communities, in our societies, and in our nations. Hallelujah. As the body of Christ and as the church, we will be emerging from the cocoon. God has been recently resetting the body of Christ. He's been shifting some bad practices from the body of Christ. He's been sifting some Babylonian practices that we have been practicing ourselves, secular practices, worldly, humanistic practices that are very self-oriented. So as we emerge from this as the church and the body of Christ, we are going to emerge more aligned to God's kingdom practices, his standards, his protocols, because we've been wrapped up and we've been motionless for a long time, not speaking out, not bringing change and transformation, not being the salt and the light that we've been commanded to be. But as we emerge as the body of Christ post-lockdown, I believe that many of us, many ministries and networks will be emerging to pollinate the world. Let's pollinate it, beloved. Let's be encouraged to pollinate it with the gospel. Let's be encouraged to pollinate it by going from flower to flower, by going from community to community, going to the townships. Let's not just go to the towns and the cities, going to the townships, going to feed God's people, to feed the hungry, to give water to the thirsty, going out there to clothe the naked. That's pollinating right there. Going out there to preach the word of God, to be instant in and out of season, go ye into the world, going into, you know, into Jerusalem, into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world to share God's word, to disciple nations. That is pollinating right there. Pollinate it and disciple it in line with Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye, Church of Christ. Pollinate it according to Ephesians 4:11-16. Pollinate it by teaching. If you're called, we're all called in the ministry. Let's teach the word of God. Let's train people. Let's equip them. Let's activate the gifts of God that are in them. Pollinate it. And so in this season, we'll no longer be hidden. The light of the body of Christ, the light of the church of God will no longer be hidden. We need to come out from under the bushel. We need to come out with governmental strategies, to bring change in governance, you know, those court cases that will come and bring change and bring transformation, bringing change to the legal system, to the judiciary, to the judicial system, bringing change out there with the preaching of the word of God and the teaching of the word of God, bringing economic blueprints. I'm working with friends of mine who are bringing new economic blueprints, not the selfish blueprints that teach about individual capitalism, but blueprints that will actually help and make sure that a whole community can benefit, that we are able to take the resources that are in our communities, and those resources will not just benefit 2% of the population or 3% of the community, but those resources will be able to benefit a great deal of people. Social justice. Did you know that social justice is the heart of God? Praise the Lord. So let's no longer be hidden. May God begin to drop in economic blueprints into our hearts, where the orphans will be fed and taken care of, and the widows will be looked after, because those are the people that God, you know, that touched the heart of God. He said, take care of the widows. He said, take care of the orphans. He said, take care of the strangers, meaning foreigners. In South Africa, we must be encouraged to take care of the strangers, not to necklace the strangers, not to kill the strangers, but to take care of the strangers. You know, there are refugees out there. We have another group called Serve Your City, and we work with the homeless people, and we work with refugees, and we see mothers out there, women from Zimbabwe who are carrying babies on the back. They're sleeping outside in this cold weather, no food, no shelter. That is our responsibility as the body of Christ. Come out as light, because one of the things that light does, it doesn't just bring, you know, light so you can see. Light always comes with warmth. Have you ever put your hand over a light bulb? That light bulb is not just shining so you can see. It also comes with warmth. So from now on, we must come out with that warmth, with the love of God, to love his people, back to life, to love his people and give them hope. And hope is a person. Hope is Christ, the hope of glory. Hope is a person, just as truth is a person. Truth is Christ, Yeshua as well. He is truth. He is hope. And so let us be those people who can bring the warmth of the light, not just bringing light which carries an ability to see and give an ability to instruction and show us the way to go. So as the light, we're not only showing the direction, showing the kingdom direction, showing the way to go, But as light also, we're coming with warmth. We're coming with warmth. It's time to be that city on the hill, beloveds. I'm just praying for you that let's come out from under the bushel. Whatever has been silencing you, whatever has hidden you, whatever it is that has caused you not to be seen, whatever it is that has caused you to not to speak out. My prayer for you right now in this time and in this season is that as we emerge from lockdown, as we come out of that cocoon that has been, you know, just wrapped around us, but it was not a cocoon to stop us. It was a cocoon to enable our full preparation, that we are fully prepared in the Word of God. We are fully prepared in His principles. It was a cocoon to shake out all those worldly principles where we were focused on self and not lifting up the name of Jesus. It was a cocoon to prepare us to be ambassadors of Christ who will come out from this season and begin to pollinate. May we begin to go out there and pollinate. May fathers begin to pollinate their homes as priests, as kings and priests of their home, and they're pollinating it with Bible study, reading the Word of God together with their family. May fathers begin to pollinate with prayer, that they're the ones leading prayer, not just the woman, not just mama leading prayer, but may fathers also rise up to that kingdom mandate of being priests in their home first before they can be kings and priests outside of their home. They have to be kings and priests in their homes. So may fathers begin to pollinate their homes. May parents begin to pollinate their homes with godly counsel and teachings to their children. According to Proverbs 22:6, teach and train a child when they are young. Teach and train them up according to their gifts, their leaning, their bent, their how they're wired, so that when they're older, they do not depart from that training. The prodigal son was able to come back home because he was taught kingdom principles as a young person, and he was able to come back. So even they may leave for a season, but because you've taught them while they're young, they will come back home, come back in relationship with the Father, the ultimate Father, just as the prodigal son did. Praise the Lord. So as mothers, let us pollinate our husbands and pollinate our spouses, you know, and encourage them to do God's will, to encourage them to align with God's protocols. If you are a spouse, or even if you're a fiance, you're engaged, you're in a relationship, you know, if you are in that relationship, ultimately, when you become a wife, your responsibility is to provoke that man to align with his destiny in Christ Jesus. So let us do that. Let us make sure that we pollinate the man. Don't just come with criticism. Don't just come with nagging. Don't just come with, you know, depressing and negative news, but always provoke him. Provoke him, provoke the gifts that God has given him, encourage him, tell him what a blessing he is to you and the family. That's pollinating the person, the man, the husband that God has given you. Pollinate him with kind words, pollinate him with gracious words, pollinate him with love, pollinate him with encouragement, pollinate him with inspiration, beloveds. As women of God, as wives, can we do that and pollinate the men that God have brought into our lives as destiny helpers? Pollinate them with the Word of God and tell them, honey, you can do this. It's possible. All things are possible in God. In you, you live. In Him, you live and move and have your being. And just pollinate them with gracious words, with encouragement, and provoke them to line up with their destiny in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us, as leaders of the nation and leaders of community and society, let us pollinate those people who God has given us to steward. Pollinate them and inspire them. Help them to release the gifts that are in them. Raise up a community. Raise up another generation. Let's not teach them to be selfish, but let's teach them to help and inspire others. Teach and train. Train the trainer. Teach and train others to be change agents. Let's pollinate the environment around us and change the environment around us. Pollinate government. Pollinate the legislator. Pollinate the executive. Pollinate also the judiciary. Let's make a difference. We are no longer going to be hidden under the bushel, but we're coming out, hallelujah, to make a difference, to pollinate the world. We're going to pollinate Jerusalem. pollinate Judea, pollinate Samaria, pollinate the uttermost part of the world, the nations. So pollinating, starting with our own family, that is our Jerusalem, starting with your own family. Don't start pollinating the uttermost parts of the world before you pollinate those who are immediately around you, your mother, your father, your siblings, your children. That is our responsibility, starting in Jerusalem, starting with those who are immediately around us, your mother-in-law, your mothers, all of that. Pollinating them before we go to Judea, which is now going out into the city to pollinate at a city level, and then pollinating at a regional level, continental level, going out there to pollinate in our nations and to pollinate in our continent. And if you're from Africa like me, the 54 African nations, let's pollinate, pollinate to remove corruption, pollinate to remove bad leadership, and pollinate to exhibit, not just to teach servant leadership, but to exhibit and role model servant and righteous leadership. No more immorality, no more scandalous affairs, no more all of those things, but exhibiting morality, ethical behavior, and servant leadership. Let's go out there and then to pollinate the nations of the world. As we're faithful to do all of that and pollinate, first of all, our immediate surrounding family members, and we move on to pollinating those in our community and our societies and regionally in our nations, and then we move to pollinating even, you know, continentally, God will be faithful to give us the nations. He operates on a principle of stewardship. So he'll not give us the nations. He'll not give us the continents before we follow that pattern, because he wants us to be kings and priests of our own homes first, pollinating our own children, pollinating our wives, our husbands, those whom God has given to us in covenant relationships. As we do that, God is faithful to now give us more. He gives us more according to how we've done. He takes away. If he gives you something and you don't pollinate, you don't bring increase, he will take away and give to another. But to the degree that we are obedient to fulfill kingdom mandate and to be responsible according to the obligations he's given us, he keeps giving us more. So the nations are going to come, beloveds, as we are faithful to steward what God has given us. We're faithful to love what God has given us. We're faithful to obey be obedient and steward what God has given us. That's what releases his faithfulness to give us more. May God give you more as you pollinate those around you, your friends, covenant friends, your covenant family, your destiny helpers that God has given you. As you pollinate them, may God give you more territory, more Rehoboth, more room, extra space to steward, because you've been faithful to steward what he gave you. So be encouraged to be the light. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Go out there, no longer be hidden. Go out there and evangelize. Go out there and come out from under the bushel. Go out there, be that city on a hill, no longer hidden. Go out there, pollinate governmentally, pollinate legislatively, pollinate in every sphere and every aspect of your life, using the gifts that God has placed in you. I love you with the love of the Lord. God is amazing. God is wonderful. And enjoy your relationship with him in this coming week. And I'll speak to you next week. God bless you and richly reward your diligent heart. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
The power of an altar. I want to share with you SKM, Shimikotu Ministries International. This is Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia, and working through some powerful concept that can help us and build us in this day and age as we walk with God. First and foremost, I want us to understand what God is doing in our lives. The world has been under lockdown in various countries, and this pandemic has affected a lot of people in different ways. But one thing that we can thank God for, We thank him for his goodness. We thank him for his faithfulness. We thank him for what he has done in our lives. To those that have lost their loved ones and to those whose loved ones are still struggling because of this virus, we continue to appreciate the hand of God in our lives, his faithfulness in every situation. We thank him for keeping us alive, but we also thank him despite what has happened, especially to those that have lost their loved ones and their parents. The power of an altar. Altars in the Bible were elevated places that were used primarily to sacrifice, and the few key elements that would be required depending with the strength of that altar, kings, priests in the olden days, they strengthened their prowess and they showed forth how powerful they were because of the altars. You find through the scriptures the very first pair, Abel and Cain, constructed an altar before God. And in the construction of this altar, they offered the sacrifices to God. We now understand in our reading that Cain's offering was not acceptable, and Abel's offerings were acceptable before God. You go through the scriptures. Noah built an altar before God. Also find out different characters in the Bible, whether it was Joshua, it was Gideon. The one particular that we all know is the story of Elijah. Elijah constructed an altar. 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 22. You go down with it. He calls for a showdown to prove whose God was powerful. He challenges the people of the time that were worshiping Baal and the prophets of Baal, proving them and asking them to come to a place of sacrifice, as that was something very important over their lives. Israel and all the prophets of Baal gathered together on Mount Carmel. Elijah gave them an opportunity for them to cry to their God. They cried all day. From morning to noon, Elijah begins to mock them because their God is not at all answering. Something to note for you and I as God's people. No matter how long it may take, no matter how difficult your situation may be, it's always good to remember we serve a mighty, powerful God. He vindicates for his own to those who trust him, to those who walk with him. He is faithful and he is a powerful God. Let's continue therefore and see what's the plan in Elijah. Now important it is for you and I to understand the importance of altars, building an altar. First thing, in verse 30 of the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah, when he takes over, he rebuilds. The altar. He actually repairs the altar that was there, and he then goes on to build by putting wood on top of it and then pouring in the trenches gallons and gallons of water, after which he then cries to his God. The part that I love there is that in him crying to his God, it doesn't have to take all that. He doesn't have to cry all that. He doesn't have to cut himself with stones. We serve a God who answers by fire. We serve a God who is faithful at all times. We serve a God who works wonders and miracles in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, let's see what God wants to do in our lives. Elijah touches me. He teaches me principle number one, the importance of repairing what's broken. What's broken in your life as a child of God? How is your prayer life? Where is your faith level? What's your commitment to God things like? Where is your fellowship quotient as far as walking with God is concerned? What's broken that needs to be repaired in your life? Elijah teaches me a powerful principle. Repairing what the enemy has destroyed. Always the first thing to do if you're going to see the hand of God in whatever you are doing. Repairing what the enemy has stolen is what the devil tries to do in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, let us understand therefore that in our journey as we walk with God, God's desire about our lives, you can't build on top of junk. You can build on top of dirt. You can build on top of debris. Clear out. Repair the altar. Oh, Jesus. Lord, that's my prayer. It's my prayer for our loved ones listening to us. It's my prayer for those who are listening to me right now, wherever you are, whatever you are doing. Your heart needs repairing. Romans chapter 12, the Bible tells us, offering our bodies as living sacrifice before God. Because there is that which is good, there is that which is acceptable, there is that which is perfect, which is of the perfect will of God. Repair what's broken. If it's fellowship, repair what's broken. Your faith level, repair what's broken. Whatever it is in your life that requires attention, repair it. Repair it. It is also imperative that we recognize after the repairing of the altar, the Bible says he built it up. It's not enough just to fix it and you leave it. You fix it and then you build for use. You build for prayer. You build to exercise your faith. You build to go to the fellowship. Whatever was repaired, you repair and build on top of what needs to be built up. Three, I learn from Elijah the importance of calling on the God that you believe. He repaired it. He built it. The devil's desire is always to make you think your God is not alive. But hear me and hear me well, my dear listeners. It's important for you to understand we serve a God who hears. There is a song we used to sing. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a wonder. We serve a miracle. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a miracle working God. We serve a wonder. We serve a miracle. We serve a miracle working God. Our God doesn't sleep nor slumber. Our God is alive. Our God is powerful. As we walk with God on this journey of faith, it is also imperative, ladies and gentlemen, that we understand that the altar is one of the strongest strongholds. It's a place of divine exchange. It's where your marriage is destroyed. It's where your family is attacked. Altar. Yep. Slaughtering of oxen, of bulls, of goats, of chicken, of even human sacrifices. They are not after their flesh per se. They are after the blood that is shedding there. Because where there is an altar, there is a throne. Where there is a throne, there is a priest. Where there is a priest, there is a sacrifice. Where there is a sacrifice, it's the shedding of the blood. Every altar is strengthened by the blood that is shed there. My brothers and sisters, as we continue to serve Him, let us remember our God is awesome. He desires nothing but you and I coming before Him. And asking for Him to intervene on our behalf. Question is, have you repaired your altar? Have you built up what needs to be built up in your life? Have you done the necessary work that desires, that needs to be done over your life? The devil's desire is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You and I, when we strengthen what God has given us and we build on the altar, firstly, identify what that altar is. Cry unto God for Him to show you what needs to be repaired and built. Call on the name of the Lord God Almighty. Oh my God. The God who answers by fire is the God who revealed Himself. Is the God who intervened. So as we declare right now in our journey as we walk with God, let us see and let us remember how awesome is our God in these days. The good thing about your altar, you don't have to rebuild one. You don't have to find your own priest. You don't have to bring a sacrifice. You are the sacrifice. That God has. You are the sacrifice that God has. But watch this. You are not just the sacrifice that God has, because Jesus has become the sacrifice for you and me. When He sacrificed His blood, He sacrificed everything for you and I, so that we can live. So may God begin to reveal in this time so that you can understand the power of the sacrifice has been provided for you. The power of the altar has been provided. The blood of the sacrifice has been provided. And guess what? The blood of bulls and goats and oxen is temporary. But the blood that was shed for you and I, that blood is still alive. That blood is still fresh. The song says, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power that gave me strength from day on today. It will never, never lose its power. Ladies and gentlemen, the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful. The blood of Jesus Christ will not lose its power. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you and I. We continue to walk with him. We continue to see his goodness in this end of our lives. May God continue to direct your path as you continue to see his faithfulness even over your life. He has promised to be with you all the days of your life. Hang in there. May God bless you. Continue to grow in him and see his goodness fulfilled in your life, even as you walk with him. He is a faithful God, and surely what he has begun in your life, he will complete it in Jesus' name. God bless you. SKM Shimokoti Ministries Radio Network, with our co-producer Kela Paget. This was the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, bringing you power for your destiny, empowering you for life, in Jesus' name. Amen.